God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on the Christian road. And today, let's take a look at this question. Is the Christian road through this life hard or easy? And is the door through which we must pass into salvation and into heaven and into the world to come, is that a narrow door or is it a wide door? I think you already know the answer to this, but it's super important for us to take a look at today because the world thinks differently on these things. How many will ultimately be saved? How many will not? Will it be many that are saved, or will it be few who are saved according to the Lord? Let's take a look at that today so we can better understand the Christian road that Jesus calls us to and the doors and gates through which we must pass into salvation, heaven, and the world to come. So let's take a look at that and see what we can learn today by the Lord's word. First of all, if we're going to take a look at going through doors and gates in the Bible, what's a door or a gate for? It's for passing from one place to another, right? When you came into church today, you entered through doors. You didn't come through the wall, I hope. Unless you're a bad driver, maybe, but yeah, I don't see any broken walls here. You have to come through the door. It's the only way in, and it's the only way out. So it's to pass from one place to another place, from outside to in, or from inside to outside, or into a house, into a park, into a country, even into heaven. Let's talk about some of the doors and gates that are in Scripture. Do you know how important doors and gates are in this book that we love and cherish, the Bible? Super powerful, super important. Consider the first door we ever really come to in the Bible. In the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, they were cast out of the garden and they left through the gate, if you will, at the east of the garden, it says. And what did God place there at the gate, at the door? A guardian cherub, an angel, that is, with a flaming sword turning every which way to guard the way to the tree of life so that they were driven out away, that they did not have access back in to the tree, lest they should continue in that state that they were in forever. Another door that we see in Scripture is Noah. His ark, remember, that had a door because God commanded him to make a roof for the ark and set a door, the door of the ark, in its side. And what was that door for? Everyone that entered through that door, and there was only one, would be saved, man and beast, and those that did not enter through that door perished in the waters of the great flood in history. Very important door. And God even shut that door and sealed it with his own hand. Look at the door of the Passover. Remember in that event in the days of Moses in Egypt that God was going to send his final plague upon them and the avenging angels from heaven to wipe out the firstborn of Egypt. But God said to Moses, you are to slay a lamb, the Passover lamb, and put its blood upon the doorposts and lintels of the house, on your doors, and when I send the avenging angels down, they will look and see the blood, and they'll pass over that door. They won't enter, and you shall be saved. But for those who do not have the blood upon their door, the angels avenging had access to that door, and they went in and slew all the firstborn of the Egyptians. How powerful are doors in the Scriptures. The tent of meeting in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, that's where God dwelt with his people, the Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies. How do you get to the place of God where he dwelt with his people? You had to come through the one door into the outer temple, and then the one door into the holy place, and then the one door past the curtain into the place where God was. So there's a succession of doors through which you had to enter to get to God. And if you come in by some other way, which you couldn't, you'd be killed. There's a door to your heart Isn't that true? Jesus in Revelation stands, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Does your door have a heart? It does. And even this world that we're living in has a door between us and heaven. Because we read in James 5, do not grumble, brethren, against one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the doors, from coming down from heaven to the earth. He's ready to come, open the door, and rush back in his last day return event. So heaven and earth have doors, and salvation has a door. Entering into that, heaven has a door to get up to there where God is. The world to come and the kingdom to come have a door through which we must enter if we would go in. And there's no other way. Question then is the way there, the road to that door and through these doors, is it easy or is it hard to get to heaven? How many will be saved is the word. Is it wide or is it narrow? Well, before we get to Jesus' word on that one, let's consider what the general understanding of this is in the world. Would you say most people say the way there is hard or easy, narrow or broad? I'd say basically for the world at large, most people say the way to heaven is easy and the door there is wide. Why would I say that? Well, most people you talk with say that, well, basically everybody's going to be saved anyway, except maybe Hitler. Maybe some really bad guy who's not going to get saved. But most people, when they die, it's always said they just go to a better place. Oh, he's now resting now. He's in a better place. You hear this all the time, regardless of the person's faith. If he be a Jew, a Muslim, or an agnostic, an atheist, a Hindu. Oh, well, he's resting now. His pain is over. He's in a better place. That's what we all say, right? At least the world. ABC News had a study some years ago when they were a little more honest. They found out that 75% of all Americans believe that they're going to heaven when they die. Okay, 75%. But they also found that 79% of Americans said that when asked, is Jesus the only way there? They said, no. You can get in by all kinds of other ways. So 8 out of 10 Americans, even some years ago, thought, therefore, that the door to heaven is wide and the way is easy and it's not by Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? What's Jesus tell us about this question, about the road of the Christian, the doors we must enter through, the gates that are to his kingdom and to the world to come? Are they wide? Are they easy? Or are they hard and narrow? Well, let's take a look. Luke chapter 13. We read, Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Good question. Amen. Great question. How many are going to be saved? And Jesus said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Is that like a sobering word or what? Does that fill you any sort of shock and fear today to wake you up? Well, it does me. The word there, Jesus says, when asked how many are going to be saved, he says, few there will be who find it. He says, the gate there is narrow, and you should strive for it. It's very tight. It's a small entryway. And how easy is the way? It is a hard path there. You know, these, by the way, are the words of the king. Let's remember, he is the one who guards the door into heaven through which we must pass. And he is telling us at the end of time that there will be many who will seek to enter and will not be able to on that day. Does it sound like there are a lot of people today who are kind of cool about all this and coasting along, who are in for a rude surprise? when they depart this world and seek to gain access at the door to heaven, Jesus says there will be a great surprise for many. And this is a word of warning to us as well, who are not yet through that door into heaven, to the kingdom to come and to the world to come, to strive for a narrow door and a hard way. The good news is that Jesus says that strive to enter by the narrow door teaches us what? That the door to heaven and to eternal life is right now open. It's achievable. It is available. The problem is, few there be who strive for it and will suffer all to get there. Jesus goes on. The next line, he says, in that chapter of Luke 13, he says, beware, more or less. He says, when once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door and to say, Lord, open to us. And he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Wow, is this a shock to think about that? This is the truth, friends. That there's going to be many who are going to seek to enter while the gates are open now in a time of grace. They will soon be shut. The doors will just lock. You ever say, get smart? Remember the beginning there? And he walks through and doors keep slamming and slamming and slamming. And the last one like hits him in the nose. Well, beware. And get smart today. Because Jesus says the door to heaven will one day be shut. And there's going to be many people, a great mass of humanity, a great multitude, crying and clamoring, oh, please, please, open and let us in. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. You taught in our streets is almost as if to say, but we had a church at every corner in our town. We were in a Christian culture. We maybe even attended church. But Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of evil, who did not strive for the narrow door, but went in the way of the world. So it is a narrow door, and many will seek to enter it on that day and seek it with tears, but will be turned away, Jesus says. Therefore, strive for it, says the Lord. Let's look at another passage, one more here, in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says very much the same. 7:13, he says, enter by the narrow gate. Let's all say that. Narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So he said this on more than one occasion and all the way through his ministry. We see here that there are two gates in this passage, two doors. One leads to destruction and damnation. The other leads to life and life eternal. Let's consider the gate that is wide and the way that's easy first to destruction. The word there Jesus uses in the Greek is plateia. It's a broad street. You can have many choices. Go in a whole number of different ways on a broad street to destruction. And the way there is euchoros, which means easy. It's not hard at all. All you have to do is just float down the current. Don't fight anything. Just go with the world. Go with your passions. Go with the devil and his lies. You know, when I think about this passage, I think of when Beth and I go up in the summertime sometimes to her hometown of Cambridge, New York. And the whole town there would float down the river, the Battenkill River, in the middle of the summer, especially when Beth is growing up, usually when the river's high. And everybody just get these huge rafts, and they drink beer and have kegs all down the river. And that would be okay? It's all right if or unless your river were called or was called the Niagara. If it's the Niagara River, you don't want to be floating down current. It may be peaceful and pleasant along the way, but that current is taking you to a tremendous falls. A catastrophic waterfall that will be destruction. Jesus says that to go with this broad way, this easy way, is as if it were to float down the current of a river toward Niagara Falls. He says, Paloi, many there will be who will enter by that one. Into what? The falls is outer darkness, a forever sorrow, a lake at the bottom, a bottomless pit, a fire, an abyss, Niagara Falls. And Jesus says, few there be who find it. Many are those who go in the wrong way. How few was it in the Bible, in some of the salvation stories? Remember, in the Exodus, they get out of Egypt, and they're heading to the promised land. 600,000 adults. How many of them actually made it to the promised land? Of the adults, 2 out of 600,000, plus the children. It was just Joshua and Caleb, and the children got in. Few. How about in the days of Lot? There were a whole lot of people living in Sodom and Gomorrah, weren't there? How many got out of the city before the destruction? Well, 3, really. Lot and his 2 daughters. His wife looked back. Oh, Macy's, Gimbel's, I want to go back. No, don't go back for Macy's and Gimbel's. No, you turn into a pillar of salt. Only 3 made it. Noah, in his days, there was a tremendous flood upon the world in Noah's days. How many escaped it out of the billions or hundreds of millions that were on the earth? 8, Noah and his family. That's it. And they got in the door and all the rest did not make it. Isaiah 66, verse 16 says, for by fire the Lord will execute judgment, and by his sword upon all flesh, and those slain by the Lord shall be many. So that's the road to destruction. Oh, wake up, world, today. That's not the way to go. But let's talk about the path and the road and the door to life now. Because Jesus said that on this passage also that there is a way to life, which is hard and the gate narrow. And he says you can achieve it. And you've got to go for it, though. The gate and the door, the word for that in the Greek here in Matthew 7 is poule, which is different from thule. Thule is just a door like this one. A poule is a gate, a door into a great city. So we're to strive, Jesus says, for the gate and door into the city of God, a city of gold, an eternal kingdom, the world to come. Strive to enter by that door. He says also that gate, though, is narrow. The word in the Greek is stenos, which means narrow or straight. You know, if you're a sailor on a ship and you want to get into the Mediterranean, and you're in the Atlantic, you've got to go through a very narrow strait called the Straits of Gibraltar. Only 9 miles wide, and if you don't come in through that bottleneck, you don't get into the sea. Strive to enter by that narrow gate, that bottleneck, Jesus says, that tight squeeze, that entrance that is very narrow. And the way there, Jesus says, it's hard. It's phlebo in the Greek, interesting word. That means closed together, pressed together with much evil and torment and afflictions and difficulties and tribulations. That way is hard to enter the kingdom, Jesus says. Why? Why does he say that this is difficult? Well, it's to go against all the current of the world. Floating down the river of Niagara, you have to go against your sinful passions of your flesh. You have to go against laziness, which doesn't want to come to church, and just skip church and not pay attention to the word. You have to go against the world, which is leading in a different way. They're having a lot of fun, and you're not. Go with us, they say. You have to fight that. And fighting the devil and all of his temptations. You know, Martin Luther said the devil is aiming at you every day with 1,000 or 10,000 flaming arrows. We have to fight against these as well as we go upstream. But when you paddle upstream, which is harder to do, what happens is it's leading you somewhere to life, Jesus says. Where does the upstream path lead? It leads to Zoe in the Greek, Jesus says, which is life or eternal life. Think about this. If you're floating down the river and you hear the roar of the thunder of the cataracts and the waterfalls of Niagara, and you turn and paddle upstream against all these, the hard way, the narrow way. Eventually, up at the top of that stream, you come to this beautiful, pristine, crystal mountain lake, and a city of gold shining in the sun, and snow-capped mountains, and emerald waters, and majestic forests, and the king, and the saints there. That's the place to which we are bound and which Jesus calls us to. And he says, few there be who find it. The word for few in the Greek is oligos, from which you get oligarchy, you know, a rule by a few. Well, this is just a few, a small number will attain it, he says. A tiny little quantity who will enter there by it. Now that's, on the one hand, alarming, but it's also very encouraging. Because Jesus says, you can get there. And he says, strive to enter by the narrow gate. The word for strive in the Greek is agonizomai, which means to contend for victory in the public games, as if you're an Olympic champion, straining with every nerve and fiber of your being for the ultimate goal of the prize. Does that sound like your Christian life? Are you awake out there today? Well, Paul, in speaking of his race, said it looks like this. He says, brothers, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I know you are on that race and you're running that with me, but let's run for the door. So the next question is, what's the door to salvation, to the kingdom to come, and the world's to come? It's a narrow door. What is it? Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 10, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He is the Straits of Gibraltar. He is the only way. He is the bottleneck. He is the door. If you're going to be saved and get to heaven, you must come by him. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. And Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I'm going away, O Jews, and you'll seek me and die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come unless you believe in me. If you don't, you shall perish. Why is Jesus the only way and the door into heaven? Because, number one, he said so very clearly. And number two, because he's the only one, friends, who died for our sins, to take them away, to freely save you and forgive you through his work at the cross. Muhammad didn't die for anybody. Buddha, Krishna, even Moses. Jesus only died to take away our sins. And he is the door. If you'd come to heaven, it must be through him and him alone. Now, if you want to go to England and see King Charles, I don't know, does anybody like King Charles? If you want to go see the king, you got to get through a whole bunch of doors. You got to go through the door of customs in the United States. You've got to enter the door of the plane, then out of the plane on the other side, into the door of the taxi in London. You got to enter London gates. You've got to go to the door and the gates guarding Buckingham Palace. And then even there, that's as far as you ever get, right? I've been there. I've seen the guy with the big crazy hats and the weapon, the gun. But you know what? If you were to get somehow beyond them inside the Buckingham Palace, you would meet people with smaller hats and bigger guns to stop you. And there's even more doors and more doors and gates and doors guarding the way to the king. The only way you would ever get to see King Charles is if King Charles himself said, you come by the way that I've provided, and I'll give you access. The only way to get to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in heaven, which is far harder than to see King Charles, the God who dwells in unapproachable light. The Bible says the one way is if the king invites you and he calls you and you come by his way. And his way, friends, is Jesus. And he calls you today, strive to enter, Jesus says, by me, through faith in me. Or, he says, Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Come on, I will show you the way. I will open the doors. I am the door. You stick with me, I'll walk you right into my Father, the King. says the Lord. And I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And when I do, I'm going to come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You come by the way the king invites you. And if you come by that way, you will gain access. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All right, so Jesus is the door into salvation. But does that mean you're in heaven yet? No, there's another door you still have to go through into heaven. Jesus is that door too. And the way there to that door to heaven is Jesus Christ again. He is not only the door, but the way to the door. And it's a good and a broad path in him, even though it be narrow. It's broad in grace. It's bright in its goodness. It's steady in its steadfastness under your feet to keep you. There are steady steps in Jesus. But we are called to walk the hard way against the afflictions, the troubles, the crushing pains, the torrents of rain, the temptations, the enemy attacks, the adversaries, the world, the devil, sin, every trap and snare. Jesus says, follow me. The way is hard, but it's a good way. It's a bright way. It's narrow, but it's strong and it's sure and it's good for you. And you walk with me. We're going to go, as it were, through a tangled forest, through mountain passes and deep, dark valleys, but I'm going to open the way for you because I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm going to make that a light shine through the dark shadows of this overgrown woods, and it'll be straight for you if you follow me. And in that path, you will also find refreshment for your souls, because I take that pack of sin off your back. Like we said last week, I've taken that off. You can run freely. You can run with a light heart. You can run with the joy of me like an Olympic champion for the prize, for the kingdom to come through the wilderness of this world until we cross the Jordan River of death into the kingdom with Jesus at our head. And he says to you today, we don't have far to go. So keep running and striving like that Olympic champion with me. Last question is, what's the confidence that we have that we're going to actually gain the prize and have entrance granted us at the kingdom in the world to come? Because the last door we ever have to go through is not heaven, but it's the last day. That's when the doors of heaven, the kingdom to come, actually open up for us. That last door is Jesus Christ as well. And I know that Jesus, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He is the door. And the Bible says, God will say, open to me the gates of righteousness, that gates that the righteous nation which keeps faith may enter in. And this is the gate of righteousness of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doings. It's marvelous in our eyes. And God will say, come, O blessed of my Father. Jesus will say, you have washed your robes and made them white in my blood. And therefore you have the right to the tree of life, and that you may enter the city by the gates. Two, the great fanfare of trumpets, and I think all the bells of the city will ring. And the king will say, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. A broad land stretching afar of freedom and peace. So the way there, friends, though, is narrow. And the gate is narrow and the way is hard. But it's Jesus Christ, and he will see us all the way safely through into his kingdom. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Road of the Christian, Broad or Narrow? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in, and have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.